you start by saying for and then the date. It's the Lullabot Podcast, and then you run the music.
November 19th, 2015, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
That's my music.
Hi, everybody. It's the Lullabot Podcast. I'm senior developer Matt Cleave. I'll be your host, and today we'll be talking about Drupal 8 and the future and all of the exciting things that are happening. But before we do that, we'll take a step back through the past and talk about where we've been over the last 10 years or so. Alongside me is co-host Mike Herschel. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing? I'm a front-end developer at Lullabot.
So we're just going to take this podcast thing and run with it. Does that sound all right?
I'm glad you are.
With us today, we have Jeff Robbins. Jeff Robbins is co-founder and CEO of Lullabot, and you may know him from the Lullabot Podcast and many other things. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. It's great to be on the Lullabot Podcast again.
Also along on the line today, we have Matt Westgate, co-founder and president of Lullabot. Hi, Matt.
Greetings. Salutations.
You've done one of these podcast things before too, right?
Once upon a moon, many more years ago than I care to admit.
It was a long time ago. God, it was like 9 years ago, right? Almost nearly 10 years ago that we started the Lullabot Podcast.
Wow. Yes.
I know.
What made you think that a podcast was a good idea?
Well, there weren't a whole lot of podcasts at the time, so it was easy to stand out. I don't know. We started Lullabot because we're really excited about Drupal, and we wanted to kind of we felt like in Drupal there were a lot of developers talking to developers, and those communities can kind of get kind of insular, you know, like they're just sort of talking to themselves, and we wanted a way to kind of like project outwards and kind of introduce new people to Drupal or make Drupal sort of easier to understand for people who were curious about Drupal but hadn't yet kind of jumped over the wall and sort of immersed themselves in Drupal. And so doing a podcast seemed like a good way to do that because for me at least, it was just really when I first started doing Drupal stuff in 2005, it was just really, really hard to find any information or even find any individual to kind of answer my questions without ridiculing me for not already knowing. But Matt Westgate was that person that I found to help turn me into a Drupal expert. And so we decided to start a company to make it easier for other people get on board.
How did you guys initially meet? Because I know, Jeff, you were in a band, Orbit, for a while. Were you still in the band when you started working with Drupal? Did you get out of the band and said, music sucks, let's do web development? Like, how exactly did that work, and how did you hook up with Matt?
Well, I actually started doing web development before my band got signed. So I started doing web development in, like, 1992, 93. My wife and I both worked on the very first commercial website, the first website to have ads on it. And so my wife has the distinction of being able to say she's the first commercial web designer. But there were other web, we wouldn't even call them web developers back then because it was just HTML, you know, it was like coders maybe. But I started a web development company way back then, and then basically my band got offered a record deal and I could stop explaining to people what the web was, which was a big part of making websites back then, was sort of like trying to convince people that it was a better idea than building, you know, like a CompuServe page or like Prodigy or AOL, you know, like back then you couldn't even send email, you know, from AOL to the internet or anything. So nobody had any idea what was going on. But then my band got signed. I did that for about 8 years full time. And then my band got dropped. And I started doing web stuff again. Got a job at an ad agency. My wife and I ended up running Ringo Starr's website for a few years.
Cool.
And then through kind of just sort of bigger and bigger opportunities, I was looking for software that could kind of handle more of it. Back then, it was all about kind of like you would build a bulletin board and you would build, you know, there was like bulletin board software and e-commerce software and blog software, but they didn't talk to each other at all. Like there wasn't, you know, like a consistent experience across all of them or consistent login across all of them. And so I was looking for software to build a big website that my wife and I had been offered. And I found Drupal we started building with that and got way over our heads very quickly because Drupal, like I said, it was really hard to find out any information. And so I started looking through message boards, just posting questions and kind of figuring out which modules I needed. And Matt Westgate's name kept popping up. And he actually turned out to be really nice and was answering my questions. And I ended up sending him an email and said, can I just get on the phone with you? And I would pay you to like just explain things to me. And it was such a like revelation in my web project to be able to just like get someone on the phone and have them like help me with the big problems I was having and point me in the right direction, help me to choose which modules, that the whole time I'm saying, Matt, this is, you don't understand, this information that you have is so great. We need to like come up with some way that like we can bring this to the people. We should start a company. And Matt said, no, I've got a very stable job at a university. I don't think I want to quit, but I convinced him eventually.
It's been downhill since then, right?
No, it's been great. It's been a fantastic experience. And one of the things early on is that the Drupal community has always been really strong, communicative. You know, I remember the first Drupal conference, which was basically us deciding, hey, let's get together. And there was 30 people in the room. What year was that, Jeff? Was that 2000?
I think it was 2005.
Yeah, 2005. And it was great because there was 30 people and we had all been talking for, you know, a good couple of years on IRC. So it was really awkward at first because we didn't know anybody's real name. We just knew their usernames. So we got the bright idea of putting name tags on that had our IRC nickname and our real life names so that we could formally meet each other. But I feel like the podcast and the talking about Drupal that Lullabot did was just an extension of the conversations that were happening within the community and just making those larger for a larger audience. And, you know, meeting Jeff was great because we just took that knowledge and just expanded it even larger, you know, cast a wider net to hopefully help Drupal go, but also expand sort of best practices and knowledge too and be a part of that ecosystem.
Well, and my background, you know, playing music, was all about like kind of, you know, finding and connecting talent, right? You know, you like that's what a record label does. They try to find, you know, talent and help kind of promote that. And so I'd become sort of attuned to that both from as a person who was talent, but also I needed to find people for my band and stuff like that. And it just seemed like there was so much talent, this kind of untapped talent in the Drupal community. I mean, all these people that were making really just amazing code that did amazing things and was really this empowering technology that we just wanted to kind of like shine a spotlight on it and kind of, you know, help people to kind of get recognized for all they were doing. And so, yeah, podcast seemed like a great way to do that.
And it was January 11th, 2006, the Drupal podcast number one.
Yes.
Wow. So that was like back in what, like 4.7 or something like that days?
4.6, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I think just on the verge of 4.6. That was 10 days after Jeff finally convinced me to start a company with him.
Yeah, we started Lullabot on January 1st, 2006. So,
and you did 104 podcasts.
If you say so.
Triple digits, baby.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Interesting. So when you guys started Lullabot, I know you early in the days did like mtv.co.uk. How did you get these large jobs, you know, the high profile stuff? How did that come about?
Well, I mean, there just weren't a whole lot of Drupal companies back then. You know, we kind of came in, I'm sort of hesitant to say, but you know, I don't want to discount what was going on back then. But for the most part, most people in that were involved in Drupal, at least Drupal Core, were people at university, people, you know, sort of hobbyists. You know, they weren't like people that worked at IBM or, you know, had the big jobs that people do in Drupal these days. And so when we started up Lullabot, there were really only like three or four companies that were kind of like focused on doing Drupal stuff. And a lot of them were focused more on, you know, it's open source software. And so there's sort of this kind of like, I sort of joke about the, you know, hippie granola open source ethos. You know, so a lot of them were focused on kind of, you know, nonprofit work for good work, you know, social good kind of work. There was a company that evolved out of the Howard Dean political campaign called Civic Space, who was very prominent in Drupal back then. And they eventually sort of morphed into Chapter 3 and then eventually morphed from there. Those guys went on and they run Pantheon these days. But Lullabot, you know, I mean, with my background in media and stuff like that, apparently MTV, you know, had sent an email to a whole bunch of companies, and we were just, according to them, we were the only ones that got back to them. And so, you know, we saw this email come in from MTV in London. We were like, what? This is amazing. Like, you know, we wrote back. We said, yeah. I mean, we could fly there this weekend if you want. And to our shock and amazement, they wrote back and said, yeah, sure. That sounds great. And so probably within 4 days of getting the email from them, we were on a flight to London. You know, there's pictures. I found the pictures on Flickr, which is where you used to post pictures. You know, it was March that we were in London. So within 3 months of starting the company, we were starting to work on you know, one of the first household name Drupal sites.
Cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. We thought so. We were you know, constantly amazed by the opportunities and really did our best to try and rise to the occasion. And I think the Drupal as like a software project learned a lot through that. I mean, you know, there was a lot of stuff when we launched the MTV site that Drupal hadn't quite figured out yet. There was no database level caching, and even, you know, things like using Drupal with Akamai or a content delivery network like that was also pretty new. And so it was, we were all learning a lot.
We even had to pull Dries in for to help with it, because it was all pretty cutting edge at the time, launching that MTV website.
And Lullabot's evolved over time as well. I mean,
we have. It's true. It's, you know, it hasn't been a meteoric growth, but that's been intentional. You know, we've tried to sort of keep the company manageable, but it's been 10 years and we've got over 60 people these days. You know, and at each stage we're shocked with how big we are, but a lot of companies that are 10 years old can get way bigger than that.
So tell us the history of the logo. What's up? Who made the logo there?
Well, I mean, it's really a question of the name of the company. You know, we were trying to come up with names for the company. My history is naming bands, you know, being doing that kind of thing. Like, and so I thought, well, it should probably sound like a techno band, you know, like kind of Cause it's technical work that we're doing, you know, and, but, you know, I was thinking about like band t-shirts and stuff. And so, you know, we were looking for .com that was available and we kept combining, names together, but each name that I would come up with, I wanted to like give Matt a complete idea for it. Like not just like the name, but also like a logo and stuff. So I was designing all these logos. I mean, I'm not much of a designer, but I would send them off to Matt. And I remember one of them had a picture of a lemon on it. I don't remember what the name of the company was, but, and there were various things. But then Lullabot came by and it seemed to be, good. And the logo was kind of fun with a little red robot and, you know,
I can tell you that my daughter loves it.
Yeah, yeah, kids love it. Kids love the stickers and
and the tattoos. The little
temporary tattoos. Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep, good stuff. I mean, I think also the name has enough kind of whimsy to it that it kind of keeps us honest. You know, like I think you know there are a lot of companies that try to give themselves a like very like professional sounding name, you know, that's kind of usually ends up sounding like a car model, you know, like you know, and it's easy to kind of believe your own bullshit, you know, around that after a while, kind of like, you know, yes, this is we're important and stuff. And I think you know, having a red robot and calling yourselves Lullabot, you know, kind of keeps us a little more
down to earth.
Grounded. Yeah, down to earth. There you go. Yeah,
it's kind of interesting. That's an interesting thought process, right there. I'm guessing you didn't think of that while you were designing the logo and the name, but it just kind of happened that way. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I guess. Maybe. I don't know if we thought of that.
I think it's just important to have fun.
Yeah. I mean, that was an important thing to us from the beginning. Was keeping it fun. Again, because Matt and I had been freelancing and it had just become really grueling. And so we wanted to kind of, you know, start something where we could, lead and have fun and, kind of create more of a, create our own environment rather than being, in that sort of subservient freelancing position that I think a lot of people have found themselves in, where that, you know, you just can't seem to make the client happy, no matter what you do. And you know, and what you realize over time is that they're not happy people. They're not experienced enough doing what they're doing to even recognize when good work is happening, and stuff like that. And so,
you also realize there's only one of you too, so there's kind of bottlenecks both ways. So
yeah,
you know, the idea of coming together was like, you know, Wonder Twin powers activate. You know, we could create some sustainability and be able to have each other's backs in the work. And you know, it turns out that can also be grown and expanded. And so we're able to bring in other people, and really, like a lot of the early people at Lullabot were just our friends in the community you know, we were hiring for projects anyway. So it's all started on from a really good place. It wasn't, you know, Jeff and I sat down, we got out some spreadsheets and figured out the economic theories and models around Drupal and the open source market. Like there wasn't any of that. We just went forward and had fun, and we'll figure out the business, you know, 5 years from now, if we're still around.
it was a little scary there at first. I mean, it was, you know, because you know, we sort of started it on a vibe. We started it kind of in sort of a almost sort of reactionary kind of way of like, you know, of what we knew what we didn't want to be. And yeah, we didn't really, it took us a couple of years to kind of figure out the business aspect of the business. But you know, all those lessons we came by very honestly. I mean, one of the core values of Lullabot is basically to accept and allow mistakes as an opportunity for learning. And a lot of that comes out of some really big mistakes that we made early on, you know, even with that MTV site, like I'm talking about, you know, like, just, we didn't understand caching, That wasn't a thing that even the Drupal community really understood, but we learned. And now, you know, we consider ourselves to be experts on that as a company, amongst other things.
Yeah. So
well, there's a resiliency to being open about what you don't know, admitting mistakes, you know, and continuing to grow and be stronger from it. I mean, a lot of all of that is in the core principles of the company, especially when it comes to teaching and sharing others about Drupal or about business. You know, we like to think that we're a pretty open company, and especially in the early days, you know, we were just doing workshops and books and podcasts. You know, we just wanted to teach and share because we knew that by doing that, we would get other feedback too. We would empower other people to grow, and it would just make the community more holistic, more robust. And so we've really leaned into sharing what we don't know, getting information, and even just put that into our business of how Lullabot runs and operates, admitting what we don't know, going from there.
Yeah, even the podcast was a leap of faith. I mean, we were starting a consulting company in which people would they would you know pay us for our knowledge, and right in the middle of it, we decided to start a podcast in which we would share for free with anyone who wanted to listen everything that we'd learned that week. And it seemed like, wait a minute, shouldn't we be hiding this away, you know, keeping it in a dark closet, you know? But it just didn't feel right to do that. And what we found was actually ended up having more of a siphoning effect, that the more that we shared, the more that we learned. And it just, it became this sort of running water kind of effect. And we learned a lot.
So do you guys still get a chance to do any type of coding? Do you keep on top of Drupal?
Yeah. I mean, you know, running the company all this time has been a learning experience in a lot of ways. We were learning about Drupal. We were learning about coding early on. As we started hiring people, we started learning about running the business and sort of putting together business and ultimately managing people. Matt, would you say the same thing? I mean, I feel like, you know, these days, my job certainly isn't about coding so much as kind of managing people in the business and sort of figuring out where and how we're going to do what we're going to do. I wish I were coding more.
It certainly doesn't prevent us from trying to code.
We've done some amazing things with Google spreadsheets for internal tools for the company. I mean, like, really amazing things. Turns out there's like a whole JavaScript coding layer in there. We wrote some cool stuff, but only people at Lullabot get to see that.
I think that's important. I mean, I don't think either of us want to lose that, because we still have delight from pulling up a text editor and seeing what the magic behind the, you know, code can do. But also we try to empower others in our team. We have weekly show and tells and stuff that people share what they're working on. And it's just part of the reward these days too, is just seeing how excited others are by what Drupal can do and what other software technologies out there. So we still get some, you know, we want to make sure that we foster that and continue to kind of pass that on as well.
I said we were really interested in empowering people from the beginning, empowering people with Drupal. And these days, you know, it's trying to empower people in Lullabot to kind of expand and maybe do things like take on the Lullabot podcast or whatever. But it means that, you know, Matt and I kind of have to sort of live vicariously through what they're doing, which isn't to say it's a bad thing at all. It's great. It's really exciting. And we totally get excited to see what's happening around us. And for me in particular, I wrote an article on Medium earlier this year, sort of talking about this process of kind of trying to hand over all of the stuff for which I'm a bottleneck on. And you know, it's good to see people who are better at doing those individual things than me doing them. So, yeah.
Do you guys keep on top of all the new, cool, fascinating stuff with Drupal 8?
A little. It's difficult to, you know, to feel like I'm sort of getting more distant from that. But again, there are other people at Lullabot who are keeping a closer eye on that. It's interesting. I haven't really had a chance to delve into it. I'd like to, but Karen Stevenson recently took over as the head of technology at Lullabot, and she's really been digging into that, and I've been trying to get as much information from her as I can, and stuff. But I'm excited. I'm excited both from a technical perspective and also from a business perspective, because there are sort of funny dynamics that happen as the next version of the software is about to come out. People stop wanting to buy the old version of the software. And so I think a lot of companies in the Drupal ecosystem have been seeing this over the course of this year, especially where, you know, a lot of people are sort of holding off to start their project until Drupal 8 comes out. So from that perspective, we are very excited that Drupal 8 is coming out. And I think I can speak for everyone that runs a business at all related to Drupal, that we're all very excited to see Drupal 8 coming out.
And there are a lot of exciting things on the way. And we'll take a look at that coming up right after this.
What's up?
Hey, it's Drupalize Me trainer Amber Matz. You just released a new series, didn't you?
The Markup in Drupal?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
I do.
Okay, when I first started my first full-time job as a Drupal developer, they had me doing views and like, oh, wrap this in an H3 and add this class and blah, 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 you know. And everything was like, add a class here, add a, you know, change this markup here. And it actually wasn't a whole lot of template file editing. It was a lot of UI stuff, right? So this goes through, it's basically a crash course in like changing markup in Drupal using a theme, and I'm using Zen as an example. And then I go through views, panels, display suite, fences. It's basically like, here's how these modules affect markup. Like, here's how the layout works. It's really like bite-sized lessons, you know, for people who are working and they're busy. I can spend 10 minutes and like get it, you know. And so that was the idea. It was kind of like, this is what I wish I would have had when I first got started.
Hey, Drupal 8's here. Woo, right?
We're recording. Will and well, Kyle has recorded his two CMI videos.
Cool.
And then Blake, Joe, and I are working on the theming.
Nice. See, so, lots of stuff in the queue, and you already have some stuff there as well.
We're releasing Blake's series on Decoupled Drupal next week, and that's pretty exciting. So if you're curious about how to use some of the fancy pants JavaScript frameworks out there or whatever, it's a really great generic introduction to decoupled Drupal. He also has a couple lessons on using Drupal 8 as well. So the web services in Drupal 8. It's kind of cool.
Welcome back. It's the Lullabot podcast. We mentioned, Mike, that there were 104 previous Lullabot podcast episodes. What we haven't said yet is that Drupalize Me, of course, then took over and did a bunch of podcasts for us as well, right?
Yep, and they started at number one.
And then they did 69 episodes, and that makes this episode 174?
Sounds good to me.
And so we're taking over their RSS feed.
Well, they took over Drupalize Me initially took over the Lullabot podcast RSS feed. And I'm guessing that's just so people would still, the podcast apps would still get the audio downloaded.
So what's going to happen to the Drupalize Me podcast?
I don't know.
We've got all these people who are tuning in right now expecting the Drupalize Me podcast, and they're going to get this thing.
They're going to get disappointed is what they're
going to get. I know. We've hardly talked about Drupal at all.
talking with Addie, within the last Drupalize Me podcast, she said if and when it comes back, she wants to launch it on the Drupalize Me webpage as opposed to a Lullabot.com webpage.
And so then we'll just tell people here to subscribe there and they can continue with their Drupal-only podcast. Is that?
That sounds about right to me.
But meanwhile, we will keep reminding them on this podcast about Drupalize Me and the awesome service that it is, and how everyone listening should subscribe to Drupalize Me so they can become a Drupal expert, especially with Drupal 8 coming out and all of the daunting, scary development aspects, the object-oriented programming things that that does. They should totally subscribe to Drupalize Me.
Yeah, I actually still use Drupalize Me because, you know, of course, since I work here, I get a free subscription. And
there's... Tell people that. Don't tell people that.
Shh. You're going to cut that out, right? Oh, right, right, Matt?
That's fine. Yeah, I'm editing, yeah.
Yeah. It's all part of the same thing, but
I know, I know. Drupalize Me, what's that?
I think it's also important to point out that we will still talk about Drupal over here. It's just that, you know...
Yeah.
Rebooting the podcast kind of gave us the opportunity to have a Dickens-like look through the past and future and present of Lullabot.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dickensian. I like it.
So what's next? That's the question, right?
The ghost of future... what of future past? What was it? The ghost of the future? What?
Ghost of Christmas future. So
Christmas
the ghost
future.
Of...
I know there was an extra. Like,
the ghost so... of Drew. The ghost Drew... of Drupal future.
The ghost of Drupal future.
Yep.
It's been kind of fun watching Drupal as a community, as well as a software product, mature over the years, I'd say.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting as Drupal can appeal more to the standard, you know, as we get off the island, as more standard developers get in, if and how that's going to change.
Standard developers.
Community. What's that?
Standard developers.
All right. So when I say standard, I'm talking like, you know, people that work with object-oriented code on a daily basis, people that don't work with like this bastardized version of PHP template for theming on a daily basis. You know,
frameworks for big kids.
What's that?
Frameworks for big kids.
Exactly. You know.
So I'll ask you guys, because I've already admitted that Drupal knowledge is evaporating. But so Matt Cleave, Mike Herschel, like you guys are experts. You're on the front lines of this thing. Like Drupal 8, it's coming out today, the same day that this podcast is coming out. Like, what's that going to mean day to day for developers like yourselves?
I'll be honest, I have a lot of learning to do. I've started to do some basic development and poking around and figuring out what I can. There's a lot that's new, which is kind of strange when you look at the interface and a lot of the things look shinier, but still the same. And then you figure out in the code base that it's all being assembled completely differently. So I have a lot of learning to do, but that's not to say that it's any worse. I think there's a whole lot extra power that comes with it.
From a front-end perspective, I'm extremely excited. I think everything from the front-end perspective is actually going to be easier. I think Twig's going to be a lot easier to work with than PHP template. A lot of the logic and a lot of the changes to the markup are going to go directly within the template. So you're actually writing markup as opposed to writing PHP to change your markup, which is a lot more logical. Twig is just, it makes sense. You know, the more I go into it and the more I learn about it, I just get super excited about it. But by far the most exciting feature of Drupal 8 is just configuration management. Of course I work with features on a daily basis with Drupal 7. And for those that don't know, features is how you export your configuration to files, and then you can throw that in version control and deploy it and stuff like that. Drupal 8 handles all that type of stuff automatically. And it just plain old works. And the diffs look really nice within version control. You can figure out what's changed. There's ways where you can track what's changed. It's easy to extend through, you know, custom modules. Deploying that is just going to be so much easier and nicer and more exciting. So I, from a front-end perspective, I cannot wait to work on Drupal 8.
I was probably a little too ominous. I kind of thought that the back end, you started saying the word easy, and I am going to have to agree with you. There are some things that I'm seeing that are going to be a whole lot easier in Drupal 8. When you can just override a class or extend a class and then get the functionality you're looking for, as opposed to copying and pasting a bunch of other code and you know, like three other hooks that have to do something to make stuff work. You know, simple overrides and changes might be a whole lot easier depending on the situation. And that's something to look forward to.
So one of the things that Matt Westgate and I, if you go back and listen to the podcast archives, and please don't do that. but if you were to, with each version of Drupal coming out, we would talk about, like, okay, it's come out today, but when are all the modules going to be ready? I remember, you know, Views was, you know, a module that everybody was using on every site, and it took, I feel like it was 6 months after whichever version, Drupal 6, Drupal 7, you know, it took a while before that, you know, Views came out for that version. Maybe it wasn't that long, but are there similar kinds of things that are happening with Drupal 8? I know that there's been more of a concerted effort to kind of get more modules ready and try and, like, you know, there are already some pretty big websites that are out there that are built on Drupal 8. Should people start building Drupal 8 sites already? Or are they going to hit a few roadblocks? Are they going to want to wait a few months?
I think it depends on their situation. There are still some gaps as far as the contributed module space goes. Some modules that haven't yet been ported or maybe don't have all of their functionality. But perhaps maybe you're just building a straightforward brochure website that needs your custom integration, in which case, yeah, absolutely, I would say build it in Drupal 8. But I know that Karen Stevenson has an article on lullabot.com that analyzes that, and I would definitely read that if I'm trying to make that decision. It was written, I think, in September, but still very, very relevant today.
And a lot of like the standard module suites that you would use for every single website, that's all, a lot of those are included directly in core now, you know, like Views, a lot of the field modules, and of course there's no need for features anymore, at least in many use cases, and so I think if you have a standard website that has references, links, and, you know, obviously it needs views, I think Drupal 8's ready.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it really is exciting. I'm super excited about it. I also think that all these modules and core are going to remove that barrier for new developers. You know, as a new developer, you're coming in, you want to create a list of content. You might not know that you need to download Views. And that's huge right there, you know. So I'm really excited about that coming in too.
That Drupal 8 can sort of do more out of the box. It's a better out of the box experience. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. If you take Drupal 7 out of the box and you fire it up and you try to build a website, you're going to hate your life. You're going to be like, what the hell is going on here? It doesn't even have a WYSIWYG. It looks like, you know, I can't create a list of content. I see I can create fields, but I want to create a different type of field. You know, I want to do this, that, and the other. And, you know, the fact is with Drupal 7, you have to download all these modules. And I think most Drupal developers take that for, you know, they have that as part of the core knowledge. You know, you have like either a make script or something else to pull that stuff down, or you just, you know, type your Drush commands and it just works. But for someone coming in, you know, they typically download the zip file and, all right, so I need to create this a list of content. What do I need to download? All right, so I find out about Vue. So I download a zip file, and then where do I place that? All right, I place it into the modules folder. No, you don't place it. You have to put into sites all modules. Don't you know that? Come on, you know. I mean, it's like, what the hell, you know? Like, there's so many, you know, Drupal WTFs. You know, and
there's a website.
Yeah, just to make a standard website, and you know, the work that went in for Drupal 8 to solve this stuff. So for those that don't know, just to kind of explain that for everybody, within Drupal 7, there's a themes folder and a modules folder that has, you know, the core modules and the core themes, and logically, if you're trying to install a module, you would put it into the directory called modules, or the themes in a directory called themes, but you're not supposed to. You're supposed to create a new directory under sites all and call it modules or themes, and then place the stuff in there, and it gets picked up, and then everything's kind of separated. Within Drupal 8, all of the core modules and core code base is put into a directory called core, and you don't mess with that directory. There still is a modules directory, and there still is a themes directory, but now within Drupal 8, it's recommended practice to put your modules and themes into those directories, which totally makes sense.
Woohoo, logic.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, I mean, and there's tons of stuff like that within Drupal 8 that they've changed around just from the site building experience, from the developer experience, and obviously from the authoring experience and stuff like that. So I think that's huge.
I haven't looked a whole lot into it yet, but one thing I noticed just very basically was form validation errors show up on the form element. And I thought that was kind of a really nice thing, as opposed to seeing a big list, a big red list at the top of your form when it didn't submit properly. Yeah. There's just a little thing that kind of drops down beneath the form element that says, you know, you didn't, or this is supposed to be a number, or you forgot this field, or, you know, it gives a different experience, and it's kind of nice.
There's been a lot of focus put on Drupal usability over the years and user experience. It's always sort of, surprising for some reason, because all that research goes in and all the work goes in, but then it doesn't actually kind of get unveiled until the next version of Drupal. And lots of times we're thinking about the next version of Drupal from a technological standpoint, you know, the way that you're going to, the APIs are going to work, the programming is going to work, and stuff like that. But then, you know, the new interface comes out and it's like, oh, yeah, that thing had always bothered me. I'd forgotten that it had bothered me because it had been so long that, like, you know, form errors are kind of dumbass. But it's nice to see those kinds of things improving.
It makes you want to install Drupal 4.6 and try and remember what your issues were before. Because,
yeah,
I'm sure it's totally different.
I don't recommend that either.
For a while, I had this presentation that I was doing at DrupalCon or DrupalCamps, and I also gave the presentation at I think it was at DrupalCon Portland, and it was called like "How to Awesomize Your Backend Experience," and
did you play some Sir Mix-a-Lot in there?
Gosh, I should have. I think I did. It was actually a really hilarious presentation.
I think everyone wants an awesome backend, really.
Yeah. And there's so much stuff you can do with Drupal 7 through contributed modules. Like some of the stuff, like you were just talking about, Matt Cleave, is, you know, like the inline forms and client side validation and stuff like that. That's the type of stuff that I would put in. But most people don't, because either they don't have the hours within their client project to do so, because they're actually working on features, or they don't know of these modules. There's so many different things, but now that the fact that it's baked in there, it's just a win for everybody. So I'm super stoked on that.
Yeah, that's been an important part of Lullabot's development process is, you know, sitting down with the people who are going to be using the site on a daily basis and talking to them oftentimes first in the project, and kind of finding out what they like about their existing software and what they don't like about their existing software and what they feel like they need and stuff like that. And usually by doing that and starting to try to build into your budget, this idea of also customizing the backend process, the production experience, you know, you can kind of get people on board. But I think a lot of young developers they're not thinking about that so much as the features of things. And, you know, in smaller projects, there's oftentimes maybe not even the budget for that. So you get this sort of out of the box Drupal stuff, which it's nice to know that it's getting better. But that stuff has always been customizable. Drupal is equally as flexible, on the back end experience as it is for the front end and the features you can build into the website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Matt Westgate, what's on the horizon from your perspective? What are you looking forward to? What do you see in the future?
Well, I think there's going to be, most of it's from a business perspective, but I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to migrate Drupal sites and to build new sites on Drupal 8. What I'm really hopeful is that this new release of Drupal 8 will bring with it new community members. People who maybe have looked at Drupal in the past given it a hairy eyeball and have come back, they have another project, look at Drupal 8 and see an easier on-ramp, see more opportunities, and just, I want to see the community continue to grow and continue for Lullabot to be a part of those conversations. I know in talking with our clients that they're cautiously optimistic about Drupal 8. You know, there's a lot of economic factors that come into play, but the list of features and the list of modules being supported continues to grow and continues to push over that threshold where it becomes more of an opportunity than a concern for their sites. So I'm looking forward to the, a new influx of people into the Drupal community and new, a new round of business opportunities, too, for everyone out there as well.
So I have a follow-up question on that. And I'm asking this for Wampy. What is a hairy eyeball?
So first of all, Wampy is one of the Lullabot developers in Spain, and it's been fascinating over the time that he's worked at Lullabot to watch him learning American vernaculars and slang and stuff like that. He spends a lot of time on Urban Dictionary trying to figure out what we're saying on team calls.
And that's not always accurate, but funny.
Yeah, no, turns out Urban Dictionary is not always accurate. So what's a hairy eyeball, Matt?
I honestly don't know. What is one?
It's skepticism, dubious. Like, there you go. It's now when you just single it out like that, that's just a little close.
Expand on that. I mean, we've had procedural PHP as the sort of core of Drupal since the beginning. I mean, that's how PHP was historically. And people that come from a more academic background oftentimes are learning object-oriented programming as kind of the better practice. And when they look at Drupal, it looks, amateurish, which has also been the appeal of Drupal. I mean, I'm speaking personally, like I have a music background, and when I looked at Drupal, the procedural Drupal years ago, it was well documented. I could sort of follow it in a very linear way and see what it was doing, and I understood it, and it drew me in. There's a little bit of a fear with the new object-oriented Drupal 8 that it may start to alienate some people, like, with a programming background like myself, and even Nate Haug and Jen Lampton were concerned by this. They've both done. Nate works for Lullabot and led workshops when Lullabot used to do more of that, and has seen people trying to learn Drupal and struggle with it, and they were really concerned about the object-oriented way that things were getting complicated. And so they developed Backdrop, which is an alternative. You can kind of think of it as maybe like Drupal 7.5. Sort of, it kind of starts to take a new branch pick up where Drupal 7 left off, but go in a different direction than Drupal 8 goes. But the idea with Drupal 8 is that these people with quote unquote better programming experience, chops, whatever you want to call it, now may take Drupal more seriously, and Drupal may be more serious, and especially as you start to get your head around this, the object-oriented methodology, it's very, very powerful, if sometimes a little bit difficult, more difficult to grok by just sitting down and trying to read it, but. But you can sign up for Drupalize Me, and they'll explain everything to you.
Good segue, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I was going to say this morning, but I don't know.
We were recording it a day early, and the only time we could find was in the morning. So we've got a certain morning energy to us. I found, you know, over time, like each time of day sort of had a different energy to it. I always thought that like the mornings would be kind of groggy and slow, but I always had more energy than I would think early in the morning.
I was wondering about that when I listened to Lullabot podcast number 17. I was thinking maybe you were up a little early, but
there were a few of them I had to do crazy. There were a few of them I had to do really late at night. I'm trying to remember, but it was, you know, like people on the West Coast who wanted to do it after work, you know, and so we'd start the podcast at 10 o'clock at night and stuff. So yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll leave it to you guys to figure it out from here. Have we made it clear how this is going to work? What's happening with the new podcast? So, Matt Cleave and Mark Herschel are taking over the podcast, from here. We're calling it the Lullabot Podcast again. We're calling it the quote Lullabot podcast unquote comma again. and you guys are going to take the lead on it. While Matt and I continue to be distracted, Matt Westgate and I continue to be distracted by all of the things that, continue to distract us, keeping a 60 person company in business. So it's exciting. I'm excited. You guys are excited. Are we excited?
Yeah, absolutely. We're trying not to screw it up too bad. So
yeah.
We know that Mike and I both had the same experience as developers who were trying to learn Drupal around the same era, where it's the Lullabot podcast was a great help to us, where you had community members talking about the things that they were working on. And, you know, I had the a lot of epiphany moments, like, oh, that's what you might use Views for. And I can definitely remember it honestly wasn't a podcast, but I remember the time when Matt Westgate like explained theming, and I was like, holy crap, I get it now. Like template files, cool. So, you know,
can you explain that to me again? I probably forgot that one.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to provide that experience for listeners of the podcast. And yeah. And you guys say, I hope you won't, you know, you say, quote, I hope I won't screw this up too badly, but I do hope you will screw it up some, like, you know, feel free to don't take it too seriously. Feel free to make some mistakes. And I hope that the listeners will, you know, participate and make suggestions and help try to steer it towards what's helpful and fun to listen to. And we won't end up with a podcast that's too, stiff or, not, you know, it's informational but not fun, or vice versa, fun but not very helpful. So, you know, good stuff.
Matt Westgate, thanks to you as well for joining us and coming on the podcast.
Oh, you're so welcome, guys. It's been fun.
Well, thanks, Jeff and Matt, for hanging out with us and listening to us ramble a bit.
Next week, we got a really good show planned, right? We're gonna talk with Andrew Barry and Karen Stevenson about Drupal 8. They've already been working with clients and have gotten elbow deep in Drupal 8 projects. So that'll be super fun, right?
Absolutely, I'm excited.
It's been a whole lot of fun today watching the karma fly by in Pound Drupal Contribute on IRC. Everybody's so excited about the Drupal 8 release.
I haven't checked it yet.
Open your IRC client, dude.
Actually, I'm looking right now. All right, yeah, I see a bunch of plus pluses going by. Everybody's getting IRC karma.
Plus plus is the favorite keystroke in the Drupal community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I wanted to tell you about the you, the listener. Mike, you know about this, right? I wanted to tell you about a new segment we're going to have on the show, Listener Q&A. We want you to reach out and ask us questions, whether they're questions about the podcast, questions about Drupal, questions about life, maybe how to make your lawn greener. Give us a call, 877-LULLABOT, extension 789, and leave us a message, and we'll get with you. You can always tweet us on Twitter, at LULLABOT. Any other way that they might be able to get in touch with us? I don't know.
Carrier pigeon? I don't know.
877-LULLABOT. That's 877-585-5226, and then extension 789.
Yeah, that could be questions on Drupal, web development, anything you want to hear in the podcast. Yeah.
Reach out and slap us and say, why did you say that? Or you were wrong.
So then what, do you just play the outro music here? How's that work? I don't even remember anymore.